නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස As you all know, we were discussing Puraveda Sutta, which is one of the interesting suttas available in the Suttanipata Attakavagga. And the idea is where the Buddha prepare another Buddha. Actually, he created another mind-made Buddha and Sangha, a group of bhikkhus. And the Buddha is, this mind-made Buddha is asking a question and then the real Buddha answering those questions. And it has happened amidst so many devas and the Brahmas. So they have come to meet the Buddha and have a great assembly. Innumerable number of, countless number of devas and Brahmas were there. And some of their information, their names, are explained in the Mahasamaya Sutta. Now, during that time, certain devas had an idea what to do before the breaking off of the body. And that is the question now this mind-made Buddha is asking and the real Buddha is answering. So we have gone through this sutta to some extent. And the whole sutta is actually compiled in a way of a series of verses. And now we have come to another beautiful verse, so let's start with that. Okay, now 862. Yassa nissayata natti nyatva dhammang anissito bhavaya vibhavaya va tanha yassa na vijyati. So the Bhikkhu Bodhi translates like this: he has no dependencies having known the Dhamma. He is independent. No craving is found in him for existence or non-existence. Now particularly these are very much into the higher practice, where one has gone through fair amount of practice and now he or she is capable of maintaining the mind without any attachment. Now you know in the Satipatthana Sutta, as we establish mindfulness, we have to find an object. So that also typically a very normal, very ordinary, very natural object, but that's what we are trying to establish. Even now we just did a short mindful sitting and there we recognize the breathing as such an object, which is quite natural. It is a bodily process and we don't particularly need to do anything to have that. It is naturally continuing from our birth, and it's a matter of keeping our attention there. So likewise, at the first stage of Satipatthana, we are trying to establish mindfulness on such kind of a natural process. And as we continue, we are able to develop the mindfulness. Not only that, we develop a fair amount of concentration, focused attention, and we learn how to balance the effort. So likewise, we prepare the mind for another level of vipassana, where we are able to investigate various phenomena. It may be bodily phenomena, feelings, perceptions, various thoughts, intentions, our senses. So all that we can explore or examine once we have a fair amount of developed mindfulness, concentration, balance, effort. Suppose now we were able to develop that and now we are trying to develop vipassana, develop the thorough understanding about various phenomena, and then we call it as the vipassana bhavana or satipatthana bhavana, the development of the mindfulness based on this satipatthana. So now we already established mindfulness on various phenomena, now we are trying to examine them, investigate them, to know their true nature. And this also a kind of a tedious process at the beginning, because we don't know how to keep our mind onto various phenomena again and again, and they also start fluctuating, changing, and our mind sometimes shift back to the breathing if we came through breathing. So likewise, certain කප්සාදයා බටනි වේද යෝගී again and again train his mind to continue his practice observing various phenomena and trying to know their true nature. So as he continued, he accomplished this and he gained certain amount of a skill to maintain his attention again and again to various phenomena. Suppose he is practicing Kayanupassana, so then he is getting to the elements meditation so that various element characteristics are able to understand. Now, if he is practicing Vedanupassana, he is able to understand the behavior of various feelings. If he is practicing Chittanupassana, he is able to understand various mental states, various thoughts. So likewise, he is now examining all these different phenomena, and as a result of this observation, he later understand their universal characteristics, their common characteristics. Either they are bodily phenomena, physical phenomena, or mental phenomena. They both categories actually show some same behavior. They all show the arising part, changing part, and then disappearing part. Upado panyayati, vayo panyayati, titassa anyatattam panyayati. So the sankata lakkhana. So any kind of a conditioned phenomena are having all these three characteristics. We can understand or we can recognize their beginning, their ending, and in between they continuously change. And as we continue our practice, so this progression or this change become very, very instantaneous, very spontaneous, or we can say very transient. Now slowly one can't even name these phenomena, label them, recognize them, because they are very quickly arising and passing away, arising and passing away. That's another stage where we understand the arising and passing away of various phenomena. Now the mind can't understand their kind of a taste, their function much, and they become somewhat blurred, and the mind become disinterested about the whole process. So we call kind of a dispassion arise, Nibbida arise, disenchantment arise, viraga arise. So all that happens in the mind. So slowly, slowly, mind withdraws from this process. And now mind try to become secluded, independent, unestablished, maintaining kind of a suspended attention without having any choice. So likewise, the another level of vipassana we can understand. Okay, you are going through such kind of a process where the mind becomes somewhat disinterested about the whole process. It withdraws from the whole process. Now it likes to become secluded. And this process will continue so that ultimately mind completely give up the whole attachment and become fairly unestablished, fairly freed from all that. And this is also not easy to maintain for the beginner. So again he switched back to the phenomena, again grasp certain phenomena. So like that, again certain hiccups can happen. But later he become capable of maintaining that state without having any dependency. He's able to maintain that what we call the anisita state, having unestablished state. There are no dependencies. Mind is not dependent on any bodily phenomena, any physical phenomena, not dependent on any feelings, mind is free from any perceptions, free from any sanya, free from any kind of mental images. And again, there are no thoughts even. Mind has completely stopped thinking. Mind is having a kind of a good rest. Now, this state further has to be continued, and then this state can become the default nature of the mind. Mind will slowly understand, so this is the default, this is the home position, this is the friction-free state, this is the more relaxed state what we can gain, so let's be here. So rather than now controlling things, rather than now doing things, one is tempted to just be, just stay there. Just enjoy that inner silence. And so that becomes one's norm. So yassa nisseta natti nyatta dhammang anisitu. So there Buddha beautifully mentioned nisseta natti, there are no dependencies now, nyatta dhammang anisitu, because he understood the unestablished state, independent state. He has realized it. It is not a kind of a logical reasoning that we are talking here, rather a well-established, a developed mind, where mind has given up all the attachments and is capable of maintaining this unestablished state, independent state. Now, typically consciousness latch on various bodily phenomena or any kind of physical phenomena. So it has become its home, it has become its establishment, a kind of a ground. Else, the consciousness heavily dependent on the various feelings. It likes to go through the physical pleasure, any mental pleasure, any kind of happiness, grasping it, being there, enjoying it, or trying to get rid of any kind of a suffering. So dealing with the different tones of feelings. That's another area, the mind or the consciousness latching on, consciousness depending on, establishing on. So that's another area. And on the other hand, when the mind is going through various perceptions, various mental images, various different signs, so that actually occupies the mind. Suppose the mind is kind of a empty space, slowly, slowly different images are popping up, different sounds, the perceptions taken from the sounds are popping up, smells, tastes, tangibles are popping up. So all that occupy the mind, ultimately clutter the mind. So that's a typical nature of the undeveloped mind. It's completely cluttered from various mental images, various perceptions, various signs, marks taken from various different phenomena. Now, as a result of the vipassana practice, so the all that cluttered nature become very, very, far away, and the mind become quite cleansed, purified, spacious, and no signs now, no images now, and mind become quite spacious. Now you understand, okay, there's a fair clarity is available, kind of a transparency is available in the mind, there is no cluttered nature. So likewise, typically the consciousness is established either on the perceptions, signs, marks, sannya, but now it is not established on any of those. Similarly, mind can think, and we encourage thinking, and basically ultimately end up with obsessions or proliferations. So that is where the mind has a good home at the proliferation, good home at the sankhara khanda, thinking, intentions, etc. So that the consciousness is well established in the sankhara khanda, the formations aggregate. But as a result of the practice, that is also slowly abandoned. So mind slowly given up thinking, daydreaming, fantasizing, all that is now stopped. No conceptual proliferation. So now mind has no establishment in the sankhara khanda as well. Consciousness is not established in the sankhara khanda as well. So likewise, so this anisita state, unestablished state, has to be further and further developed, seasoned, so that more and more purity of the mind would happen, and it's a kind of a gradual process. And because one is able to do that, not because of a mere strong concentration, rather one understood the empty nature of various phenomena. Even though they are bodily phenomena, physical phenomena, feelings, perceptions, formations, nothing of them are worthy of attaching. There is no essence there. There is nothing substantial. So all that is coming as a result of one's understanding, investigation onto these different phenomena. One may take or go through while one is going through this Satipatthana practice. Now, when one know that their true nature, things as they truly are, yatha bhuta jnana dasana, then nothing to attach, no point of holding anything. no point of attaching to anything, because everything is quite vulnerable, everything is transient, everything is subjected to any kind of a change, impermanence. So things are not intrinsically happy, pleasurable. They are always subjected to arising and passing away. They are quite vulnerable. And again, there is nothing internally available. There is no core, there is no soul, there is no essence. So ultimately, mind gives up the whole thing. It becomes independent. So yassa nissayata natthi nyattva dhammam anissito. So by knowing things as they truly are, knowing their true nature, now mind has become independent. No dependencies. Bhavaya vibhavaya va tanhaya asana vijyati. So there is no craving either to exist or to kind of non-existence. So one is simply continuing the life, continuing the five aggregates, because they are continuing as a result of that previous momentum. But now one is, the arahante is simply navigating through the life. He doesn't want to kill the body, rather, or he doesn't want to have another birth. He's simply maintaining the body for the sake of maintenance. It's continuing. So likewise, so this is the kind of a state that the arahante is continuing. Now this actually has explained by Venerable Sariputta. So when Buddha asks, so how you are living, he simply says, Mante, so this is like a bull without horns and kind of helpless, very innocent. So this is the kind of a body that I am maintaining. So I have no intention to kill it. I have no intention to have another birth. So simply allowing things to happen. Just be. So appear like kind of a passive way of living, but when one understands there is no body here, there is no person here, individual here, no ego, so it's a different kind of a living that the arahants are talking. So they allow the process to continue, not interrupting. In case they have to intervene, they know that through their wisdom. Otherwise, they simply adjust with the situation. Maintaining mindfulness. Sada sato. Maintaining continuous mindfulness. So this is the kind of a point that Buddha highlights here. So if one is able to have this kind of an achievement before one's death, so that is what Buddha encourages here. So devas and brahmas are encouraged to have this kind of a mentality, this kind of an understanding, a realization. So are you able to have an independent mind, a freed mind, unestablished mind, and have no craving for anything whatsoever? And then that is the state that Buddha is encouraging. And then next verse, tambrumi upasantoti kamesu anapekkinam gantha tassana vijjanti athariso visattikam. Certain overlappings are there in these verses, I feel. Anyway, tambrumi upasantoti, so I call him peaceful one. Kamesu anapekkinam, he has no desire for any kind of karma. He has completely withdrawn from that. And he has no any attachment to sensual pleasures. He is not searching such sensual pleasures. Gantha tassa navijjanti. Gantha, the knots are not found in him. Athariso visattikam. And he has crossed over the attachment, the tanha. Now certain overlappings are here, by the way. Now visattika is a kind of a term given to tanha, because it has a nature to adhere, it has a nature to get things together. It binds one's mind with something. That's the visattika. Say for example, if you start thinking some sensual pleasure, suppose that you like a certain person, So your mind is very much like attached to it. Your mind stick to it. So stick to his maybe figure, to his various body parts, or qualities, or his whatever the appearance. So the mind starts sticking to that. So the tanha, the craving has that nature. Your mind no more independent, rather it gets stick with something, it glued with something. So the visattika, the craving has that nature. It gluing the mind with something, attaches the mind with something, it hooked up with something, connects with something, binds with something. Atariso visattika. So that means, so the mind has crossed over that visattika. Mind has completely freed from that gluing nature, attaching nature, holding up nature. So the mind is capable of maintaining such unattached, completely freed, unsticky kind of a state. So we as yogis, we can see how our minds are tempted to go and again attach with something. It prefers attachment. So we may be trying to encourage the mind to be free, detached. But time to time, mind picks something and go and attach with it. Start talking with it. Start having various thoughts about it. And having various perceptions, signs about it. Start preparing any kind of affection, attachment towards it. Various images of that object or person popping up in the mind. So you start drawing images, making artwork in the mind. So all that indicates certain attachment is there. The tanha is operating. So your mind is now getting stick with or bind with that object. That object can be a physical object or mental object, a person, an individual, a kind of a state, a kind of an incident, whatsoever. So all that indicates that sticky nature of the tanha, craving. But if one's mind is anapekkinam, kamesu anapekkinam, if one has no any desire for that karma, particularly, if mind has no desire for such sensual pleasure, so then even though sensual pleasures are there, even though various karma, various sense objects are there, so one is able to maintain a kind of an unattached mind. Even though you see various beautiful sights, mind doesn't want to get involved with them. Even though you hear various beautiful sounds, mind doesn't want to get involved with them. Smells, tastes, tangibles are similar. Even though they are there, mind doesn't want to stick with them, attach with them, bound with them. Mind prefers that seclusion. So this happens slowly. So we can't say that we can immediately accomplish it. So Buddha encourages to have this kind of unattached mind. So the whole Indriya Bhavana Sutta, the theme is this. Where you are encouraged to maintain that equanimous mind. Very calm, relaxed mind. Instead of that attached, hindered, burdened, dross kind of a mind. So the mind will naturally understand it as it matures. So at the beginning we need to encourage it, we need to push it. We need to get some courage from the Buddha's teaching, some guidance from the Buddha's teaching. And again we have to tame the mind. We have to restrain the mind. Like we are taming a little kid. But as the mind naturally grows, it becomes matures. Now you don't need much kind of a intentional participation into this process. Rather, mind itself corrects itself. Very much like, say, a mind start thinking about something and it understand, okay, it's not necessary, again, a burden, completely irrelevant thing this mind is trying to do. So you become ashamed of that. And naturally, it settles back to that unattached state, unsuggested state. So it become more and more kind of an easier thing. So the correction happen automatically. You don't need to much interrupt the process. You don't need to interfere. Rather, mind takes care of itself. It does the self-maintenance kind of a thing. At the beginning, it does not. At the beginning, you may have to intervene. But later, mind takes care of its own health. Kind of a self-correction process is going on. Something like that. Because he has no much intention or affection, expectation about the karma now. Tambrumi upasantoti. Now we can say that person is a peaceful person. So his mind is quite peaceful. And again, another interesting point highlighted here. Gantha tassa navijjanti. Gantha. The gantha, the knots, are of four types. So these are explained in certain suttas. What are the gantha? The Pali term gantha represents kind of a knot. You being knot, you are having kind of a knot with something. The bodily knot of longing. Abhijja kaya gantha. So you have a kind of a desire, and so as a result of that, you become having a tanglement. You have a tangle with something. Because of the avijja, covetousness. Internal desires are operating. As a result of that, the mind gets hooked up with something. It has a knot there. It's a tangle there. Now your practice has to be untangle it. Remove that knot. Probably you can remember that interesting verse asked by one of the deities. Jataya jatita paja. So this fork is bound by various knots. So their mind being tangled with various things. So that's the typical state of the mind. It's get tangled with things. It get bound with things. It's not freed. So one area of such tanglement is because of this abhijja kaya gantha, what we call the inner craving causes the mind to get tangled. And then the bodily knot of ill will, vyapada kaya gantha, where you have certain resentment towards someone, kind of a grudge with someone, anger with someone, now mind get tangled with that. So every time you allow the mind to free, so it go and tangle with that. So such kind of a tanglement is possible where mind get tangled with something. So it can happen because of the anger. It can happen because of the ill will, where mind get again and again tangled with something because of the ill will. That's another area how the mind get tangled, having preparing a knot in the mind so that again get caught up with something, again get tangled. Another area is the bodily knot of seizing upon good behavior and observances. So that is called the silabbata paramasa. You know that the what we call the various customs are there, various what we call rituals are there, observances are there, and to those observances, to those customs, and sometimes people get too much attached, too much adhered, and so that is what typically happen. And in particular, certain people are quite adhered to such observances. Silabbata paramasa kaya gantha, where mind get hooked up with such kind of an observances, and get attached to such observances, get tangled with such observances. So that's another area. So sometimes we need to encourage the sila. We need to encourage the morality, but unfortunately people too much strongly hold them, too much strongly attach to them, and they strictly adhere to them, and getting stick with those observances. So that's another area that we need to be careful, because how are we determining what needs to be followed or what needs to be observed? So that depends on its function. Actually, this function, this question is asked from Venerable Ananda by the Buddha. So Buddha is asking from Venerable Ananda, Ananda, how are you going to determine a certain ritual, certain observance is good or bad? Or are we all have to abandon all the observances? Are we going to abandon all the rituals? So what is the determining factor? And Venerable Ananda answers, it depends on the impact on the mind. Suppose that you are developing certain observance, you are practicing certain ritual. So if that ritual, if that practice, if that custom or observance makes the mind happy in the sense kind of a spiritually happy, certain contentment is developed, so your mind become composed, your mind become calm, relaxed. So then actually it's a better observance, it's a nice observance. There is no need to abandon it. You can actually encourage it, because it has a positive impact on the mind. It's a good observance, and you can continue that. Say for example, you are maintaining a mind which where you have a kind of a ritual, kind of a very pleasant, and it encourages your spiritual practice, and say it delights, develop certain amount of happiness within the mind. So likewise, there may be certain rituals or observances which actually are quite helpful. But on the other hand, there may be other rituals or observances which is quite difficult, and again, it tires the mind, and basically you become quite tiresome, mind become quite restricted, constricted, and you become burdened, your mind becomes stressed, tensed. So even though it appear like a good ritual, but the impact is quite detrimental, impact is quite negative. So therefore such type of rituals or observances are not encouraged. So we need therefore to decide what are the rites, rituals, observances which are helpful to us, and what are the ones which are harmful. And on the other hand, this proper balance only happens according to Dhamma when one attends the Sotapanna, where there is no even an attachment, a gross adherence to even the sila, even to the morality. So one maintains the morality in a well-balanced way. There is no any strong adherence. One does not become burdened by even the sila. So here, so the third type of gantha, third type of entanglement of the mind is to these rites, rituals and observances. You can understand how true they are, how true this statement is. So how much our minds are very much like tangled with such rituals, tangled with such observances. So sometimes people are unable to give it up. Even though sometimes people, another good person encourage, okay, you give up, you no point of having this, so you give it up. So they are unable to give it up because they are so adhered to it, so tangled with it, and so bound with it, so attached with it. So this Silabbata Kayagantha is another area, so particularly being influenced by the you know, its impact is widely available in the spiritual people. Others are simply in the first one, where they are going for the sensual pleasures, covetousness. But certain others who are more into the spirituality, they start adhering or tangled with these rituals, these observances. Even today this is available. In the old time, during the Buddha's time, in the Indian society, there are many such rituals, observances, they are torturing the body with such rituals and observances, and even today some are doing it still. And we also sometimes we need to find out, are we following any such rituals blindly in a more kind of an attached manner? And if you are simply following it and having a very good impact, a positive influence to the mind, that's all right. But sometimes we take it so hard, so serious, and in case if we break it sometimes, you become really unhappy, you blame yourself. So likewise, so that indicates that certain amount of binding is there, a big impact is there, tanglement is there, a knot is there with to that rituals. And the last one is called the bodily knot of dogmatic adherence to claims of truth. Idam sacchaṃ kāya gantha. So sometimes people take certain view as very strong, and they start denying the others. They start completely looking down the other truths, looking down the other teachings, because one is having a strong attachment, strong knot to what we call this particular what your own view. Idameva sacchaṃ mogamanya. So all others are wrong, only this is correct, only this is true. So this is a typical approach that some people are having. So that is also a kind of a knot. You become attached to that, you become entangled. A kind of a tanglement is there when you take certain thing as utterly true, and that is the only truth, nothing else, everything else is false, everything else is nonsense. So you are strongly attached to what you take as the truth. So this is another kind of a gantha. So you can see how the mind sometimes get trapped in all this. So one is called the covetousness, the kind of an attachment, a desire, pressure, sensual pressure related knot. The other one is happening because of the ill will. The other one is happening because of observances, rituals, the rites and rituals, all that. The last one is when you take a certain view is quite true, understand is quite true, a kind of a dogmatic adherence is quite true, and you hold that very strongly. Now, for the arahant, gantā tassa na vijjati. For the arahant, such knots, such adherences, such tanglements are not available. So his mind is completely free. No tanglements in the mind. And let's take another verse. Na tassa putta pasavo kettang vattuncha vijjati. Attava api nirattava na tasming upalabhati. He has no sons or cattle, nor does he possess fields or land. In him there is nothing to be found as either taken up or rejected. Now, you know, for the monks, people offer various things. They offer lands, they offer kutis, the huts, maybe the robes, the food, medicine. So many, many things are there that people are offering. And here, the arahant anyway does not maintain any kind of a family, any kind of such paddy fields, landing, maintaining of those lands. And on the other hand, he doesn't have any spouse. Sons indicate that everything. So he is a free man, has no such even a desire for having those. And he's maintaining a very simple lifestyle. And so he's free from all that burden. So typically the people think, okay, we need sons, we need daughters, we need a lot of wealth. I need a car, I need a land, I need a social status. So many things that people appreciate, and that's what they are continuing to acquire. Having many things, having many possessions is something that it's a delight, for a cause for delight for them. But the arahant going in the opposite, he
he relinquished everything. He doesn't want to have anything. So he's a free man. He's maintaining a very relaxed, free state and less burden. There may be responsibilities, there may be obligations that also he take lightly in the sense, I mean, not making it as a burden. And on the other hand, he has no such attachment to spouse or sons or any of that. So he's a free person. Kettang mattuncha vijjati. Attava api nirattava na tasming upalabbati. And in him there is nothing to be found as either taken up or rejected. So his mind is very much in an equanimous state. Now suppose if they are attaching to something, desiring something, then we are trying to acquire it. Then we are attracted to something. On the other hand, if we are in with some sort of a rejection, ill will, then we are trying to, the mind get repelled with something. So this repulsion or attraction are not there in the Arahant's mind. So it's in a well-balanced state, a kind of an equanimous state. So that is what encouraged here. So how one can maintain such an equanimity? So sometimes we can understand how it is connected with that anicitta state. So we already discussed about that anicitta state. As a result of the understanding of the phenomena, their true nature, so the mind become independent, freed, unestablished, and so you are trying to maintain that unestablished state, unattached state, and you can connect this with this what we call the attava api nirattava na tasming upalabbati. There is no rejection, there is no taking up, there is no any attraction, there is no any repulsion. So mind is maintaining that evenness, mind is maintaining that balance. So there is a big connection with this. So how the attraction is abandoned, how the repulsion is also abandoned. So the mind is in a kind of evenness, how the mind is maintaining such evenness. Okay, I think that is enough for today. Only few more things to discuss. So we'll stop here. And now I open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu. So we do have one question from Lahisha.
Yeah.
Feel free to. Lahisha, are you able to unmute?
Sorry, Jennifer. Actually, maybe by a mistake. Sorry.
Oh, no worries.
I didn't know that her hand was raised. Sorry.
That's all right. No worries. Any questions on your side, Bhante?
Any question? No. Okay, no questions from our side. All are in anicitta state.
We do have a question from Geshan here.
Yeah.
Hello, Geshan. Yeah. Ask.
Hello, Bhante. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Yeah.
So I hope you can hear me.
Yes, yes.
And so the questions are basically around the discussion what we've having today and for a couple of weeks as well. In the beginning, you talked about Bhante, that Buddha creates in his image, in his mind, or positive, what I'm hearing, the way that you were describing, or other devas, brahmas, and them to see as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate? Or is it just for their mind to see it?
It seems like Buddha is making kind of a miracle there, where he created another Buddha and Sangha, and the Buddha is asking the questions from the real Buddha, and the real Buddha is answering. So I think so it's a kind of an occasion where he develops certain amount of further, uplifted mind in the Devas and the Brahmas. So they are happy to see this kind of a discussion. And the point is also, now in order to explain, you need to have a question. So who is asking the question? So the question being asked by another Buddha. So it's a kind of a very extraordinary situation. So the Devas and Brahmas become further delighted by seeing two Buddhas. So that is what very much like indicated. So even though certain questions are there, sometimes people are unable to ask. So they keep on pondering about their questions and they are unable to ask the questions. So, but here Buddha prepares another Buddha, and that Buddha is asking so that everybody can hear it, and now there is an opportunity to explain it. So I think, that's the occasion how Buddha prepares. So the others are also happy to see another Buddha asking questions, and Buddha is answering. So such kind of a thing is there, so that people become more paying enough attention to the whole situation.
Okay, yes, kind of clear now. I always thought, is it in the image that they see, or they are visually seeing it as such, you know, for us, more than what I can see, what you think, but I can see you as figuratively. And, you know, so I was thinking in that context, and that's the reason why I asked. The second question, what I thought I should ask, because of the gravity of these questions or the depth of these questions and the answers that they are sort of asking, if not for Buddha to create, I think such questions wouldn't be sort of brought up by any Brahmin or the Devas. Is it that deep kind of context, I guess?
On the other hand, now a certain Devas actually had the question. But now Buddha want to make it available to everybody. And it is a useful question also. So that others also should know it. And they also get benefited if the question being asked in public. So there are such occasions. Say for example, sometimes Venerable Moggallana in private ask a question from the Buddha. So rather than Buddha answering it, so he asked Venerable Moggallana, okay, Moggallana, you come and ask the question when the monks gather during the evening time. And now during the assembly of the monks, now Venerable Moggallana is raising the question. Now Buddha answering it. So likewise, the thinking about the many benefit, so large benefit that the when it is being asked in a gathering, in an assembly, Buddha do such kind of a thing. So here also there's a tremendous amount of benefit for many others when this question being answered, but there is no one to ask it. Certain Devas had it in their mind. So Buddha prepared another mind made Buddha. He is asking now. So everybody hear the question now. Now there's an opportunity to answer it.
Very good, Bhante. That's all what I have. Thank you.
Thiruvan Sannai.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Ashini for the next question.
Thiruvan Sannai Swami Nahansa.
Yes.
Swami Nahansa, want to tell you that this is a thing that I am experiencing these days, that is, I don't have much time to do the mindful sitting and mindful walking as earlier. For instance, my parents are not allowing me to wake up at about 3 in the morning. So they are only allowing me to wake up at 4:30. After waking up at 4:30, I find no time to meditate at that time, and I have to work in the house. Thereafter, after breakfast at 7:30, I get a chance to do mindful walking for 1 hour. Thereafter, mindful sitting for about half an hour. thereafter again I have to do extra work like preparing a bus for it and so on. Then I had got the fruit store, and that time have previously I spent on meditation. Now things change, and that time is taken up by extra work. So after that, after lunch, I again get a chance to do mindful walking for 1 hour. Then again, as I do English classes for students, I came up an opportunity to do a new class because my parents are insisting me upon doing more classes. So I have to prepare lessons for those things and lesson plans also. To do prepare lesson plan, I take about 45 minutes. So in the evening at 4, I have to prepare some medicine. Likewise, there are so many work now. Previously, there was only meditation and me. But now there are so many work and a little bit of meditation. What I want to tell you is that I like to do mindful sitting, writing and falling. I liked it very much, mindful sitting, because my mind was very calm and very peaceful at that time. But now I have to do a lot of work, and there's a desire in my heart to do my meditation, but I find no time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of work from Hansa, because I have recently I have got advice from doctor. Listen, there are a lot of work in less meditation. So I find myself in work, and I'm afraid that I will decline in the process of meditation. That's what I wanted to tell you, Swami.
Mm-hmm. And one thing is, I mean, you can try how to incorporate mindfulness into your work. Say, for example, you are preparing some dishes, you are washing some dishes, you are cleaning the garden or whatever. Now, how are you going to apply mindfulness while during such activity? Because it is not that only sitting or walking where we can practice. Rather, even the other daily activities also, we can maintain a certain amount of mindfulness. Not to the amount in the full capacity, but at least without allowing the mind to get distracted, you can still maintain certain amount of mindfulness. So that is another area where you can develop. So how to apply mindfulness into daily activities? It's a kind of an area now you can try to incorporate. So it is not that you are trying to stop all the other activities and engage in meditation. Rather, even those activities, how to fill with mindfulness, how to connect with mindfulness. Then it becomes a new experience for you. Say, while you are cleaning the garden, so how you are maintaining mindfulness, how you are, say for example, you are brushing your teeth, how to maintain mindfulness. So likewise, try to figure out how to incorporate mindfulness even into the daily activities. On the other hand, as you continue, if you feel still no time to meditate and such kind of thing, certain parts you can drop. I mean the work. Certain work you need to understand, okay, this is too much. It burdens the mind. It restricts the mind. It's too much. Then that you need to drop.
Thank you very much, Swami Nahansa.
Yeah.
That was very helpful. Hereafter, I will do my day-to-day work. Day-to-day work mindfully.
Good.
Thank you very much, Swami Nahansa. Teruvan Sannai, Swami.
Yeah. Teruvan Sannai.
Thank you. I'd like to invite
Vimal
for the next question.
Avsarai Bante, I think I can hear you.
Yes, yes.
Actually, you know, when I listened to the talk, I got that psychic Buddha. The Buddha makes another Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this concept, today artificial intelligence, text to image, sort of forms. I mean, the Buddha itself has that ability to make the artificial intelligence sort of thing. That is what, in his just idea, I want to share and you know, see that your comments.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, sometimes even others have prepared an image of the Buddha. Such commentarial stories are there. Sometimes even the Mara wanted to deceive a certain monk, and actually the and he want to interrupt the monk, and monk, by the way, using his idea, so he asked Mara to, okay, you prepare the Buddha's image. And then Mara prepares a very beautiful Buddha's image, so the monk is quite happy to see the Buddha's image and he get enlightened. These kind of situations were there. So whoever has that what we call iddivida jnana has the capacity to prepare the others' images. Now probably the very popular story is about the Chullapantaka. So when Chullapantaka has become an arahant with all these psychic powers, so he has prepared many Chullapantakas, many the same monk, many such monks. So the person who went to invite Chullapantaka, Venerable Chullapantaka, he can't recognize who is the real Chullapantaka, because he has prepared many Chullapantakas. So likewise, so this is a kind of a capacity, psychic power, sometimes certain people are having. The same thing Buddha seems to have done. So he has prepared another Buddha and the Sangha, and prepared kind of a miracle so that everybody is attracted, everyone's attention is there. Additionally, they can hear the question. Now there's an opportunity to answer.
Yeah, am I?
Good.
Much merit.
Yeah. Okay, Jennifer, there are no questions from our side. And
okay.
Then we'll wind up the session for today.
Sounds good. Thank you, Sanjay.
Yeah, okay. So we have spent some time in meditation. And then we conducted the Sutta teaching session. So Venerable Dhammosada is here. Probably you can conduct the sharing of merits.
Thank you, Bhante, for that exposition today. May our relatives and all devas benefit from the lessons that we have learned today. May all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the dispensation of the Buddha for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that have been planted in our hearts today grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now let us recite the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits. Itta vata chamehi sambhatam punya sampadam sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Itta vata chamehi sambhatam punya sampadam sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Itta vata chamehi sambhatam punya sampadam Sambe satta anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhiya. Aka satta chabummattha deva naga mahindika. Punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Aka satta chabummattha deva naga mahindika. Punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Aka satta chabummattha deva naga mahindika. Punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Idango nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idango nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idango nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyakammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yavanibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.